அஸ்ஸலாமு அலைக்கும் வரஹ்மத்துல்லாஹி வபரகாத்து. பிஸ்மில்லாஹிர் ரஹ்மானிர் ரஹீம். அல்ஹம்துலில்லாஹி ரப்பில் ஆலமீன் வஹு வலியுஸ் ஸாலிஹீன் வஸ்ஸலாத்து வஸ்ஸலாமு அலா சையிதில் முர்சலீன் வஅலா ஆலிஹி வமன் தபிஅஹும் பி இஹ்ஸான் இலா யௌமித்தீன். அம்மா பஅத். And why someone else is need to explain and interpreter and you know the Quran. And Allah says in Holy Quran that I have revealed in a clear Arabic language. Arabiyyin mubeen. In a clear Arabic language I have revealed it. So Quran is clear. So this type of question might come in our mind. So first of all, to understand the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed certain verses, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to reveal, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there and practically he was showing how to practice that ayah. But now we don't have anyone to show us practically this is how this ayah should be practiced. For example, we all believe and we should believe, if anybody denies that we don't need to pray 5 times, then our iman is in question. But Quran does not detailly explain about the 5 times salah. Some who look at the Quran by only the translation, he might come to a conclusion, say Quran only mentions about 3 times. That's why we have certain groups, they believe that only 3 times of salah is compulsory, not 5. But our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that although Quran, the outer, when you look at it, it looks like 3 times. Because you can divide the day into 3 different parts. To 3 different portions. So according to different people, they divide it in different way. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly explained and practiced and showed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made 5 times salah compulsory. And why we can't just look at the translation of the Quran and understand? Because translation will only give you the literal meaning of that. What does it mean? It will not give you the explanation and how we're supposed to understand and practice according to that. For example, word salah, now we as Muslims, when you look at, you go type salah even in Google, you go type salah Google and translate. It gives you 2 translations. One, it gives you translation according to what we understand that about our prayer. And then it gives you literal meaning. Salah means supplication. Dua. So someone can say, you know, Allah is telling us to not to pray, Allah is telling us to make dua. Not the what we are doing as, you know, salah. He might come to understanding saying that salah means to pray, so you any form of prayer, it is salah, so any time I can pray. So understanding of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such beautifully that connect the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the Quran. No one can say till the day of Qiyamah that I will stick to the Quran, I don't need anything, and say, you know, then I will be guided. No. And neither someone can say, you know, I will not take the Quran, I will stick to the life of hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so I will be guided. No. It's both. If you are taking the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you have to take the Quran. If you have to take the Quran, then you are taking the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this science of tafsir, when did it develop? Some people, you know, even Orientalists, why I am speaking about this modern issue, some might think, you know, why Shaykh is speaking, because we are exposed to this Western and modern era, we are exposed to this type of opinion. They might say, this is something which just started recently. Scholars who came recently, they have started interpreting the Quran, this was not done in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No. The tafsir, explanation, interpretation of the Quran, it is done from the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, he practically elaborated it and showed this is how it should be practiced and understood. Last week I explained that. And in the time of Sahaba, even in time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the last surahs, inshallah we will go through one of the beautiful surah, is Surah Al-Nasr. The help that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the Muslims. And the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they got that help, and inshaAllah we will again definitely get that help. Surah Al-Nasr, it begins with إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. When you look at that word, it says when Allah's help comes. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ Allah's help and trust, the victory, the opening comes. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. You will see that people will flock into fold of Islam. They will flock in the time of, in the end, the last period of life of Rasulullah ﷺ. Nations and tribes into, from different geographical locations, they used to come and embrace Islam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. When you see this, you glorify Allah. It's not because of your effort. It's not because of your ability and your plan. You know, my plan came through and this is my dream. No. It is that everything, all praise belongs to Allah. So glorify Him and thank Him and praise Him and do istighfar. Istighfar, ask, seek forgiveness, because this would have been delayed because of some of our actions. Why I'm saying, why istighfar? Ulama explain why Allah is saying to make istighfar, seek refuge from Allah, and you know, ask forgiveness. He says, sometime our neighbor is a very good person, very good human being. When you see, there is nothing to say. But there is something, one of our actions is keeping him away from Islam. The way we behave in the world, he says, you know, if Muslims, they do this, you know. So our actions are being obstacle. Sometimes our words, the way we behave with people, it has been obstacle. People entering into Islam, so you have to make istighfar. Although they are embracing now, maybe the delay because what? Because of our practice. So make istighfar. When this ayah, this surah was read, Sahabas understood Arabic and they were not satisfied. They were saying this surah is giving another message. They went around consulting senior Sahabas. They were consulting senior Sahabas and they went to Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. He was a young Sahabi, but Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. Allah opened his heart for the tafsir. He is the best and he is the first mufassir of this ummah who interpreted the Quran. When he went to him, he started crying. He started pouring. He says, you know what this surah means? This surah means the time of departure of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is around the corner. Allah. This surah means the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's departure is around the corner. He starts pouring out. This is the understanding. Why he said? Yes, his job is done. His task is done. Everyone who have come here, Allah has sent us with a purpose here. Once our job is done, once our task is over, then Allah is going to take us. So he said this, Sahaba said yes. And after that, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not live long. So the tafsir, the field of the science of tafsir, it begins from the time of Sahaba karam. Even Sahabas, they knew Arabic language, they could understand very well, but they used to walk around and consult by senior and the learned who knew, who had deeper understanding of the Quran. They went to them and they consult, how should I understand this word? In that way, when you look at the tafsir, so in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, time of Sahabas and the senior Sahabas explained. So the tafsir of, you know, interpreting the Quran, it came, the science developed at that time. So the first form of interpreting the Quran, the tafsir of the Quran, first when you look at the ayah, you don't understand that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the explanation in another surah, another ayah. So first you call it tafsir al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an, explaining and interpreting Qur'an using a Qur'an, another word. You use another word, it gives the explanation. For example, in surah Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, Allah guide us. Allah is chasing us a dua, Allah guide us in a straight path, the path of those who you have bestowed your mercy on. And it doesn't explain who are the people who have been bestowed Allah's mercy and Allah's bounty. It doesn't explain. In another verse, it explains. It says the prophets who accepted the prophet's message, that is Siddiqeen, and who was with them from the time of their you know, prophethood, and then who sacrificed their life for the sake of Islam, the shaheed and salihun, who are practicing Islam 100%. So in another part of in surah, that will give explanation. So first form is al-tafsir al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an. We will use the form of Qur'an. We look at one ayah, then that explanation of that ayah will be given in another ayah. And then we look at the Arabic language as well. Arabic language will not be there only to interpret the Quran, it's only to understand the meaning, but through language you cannot decide this what it meant. Like I said, it gives a literal meaning. So by literal meaning, knowing the literal meaning, you will not know the understanding of it. Like I said, the Surah An-Nasr, literal meaning does not say anything about the departure of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the context, when it was revealed, the time it was revealed, and the surrounding, what was the situation at that time, looking at the, all those things, that what it meant at that time. Then, the second form, how we do the interpretation of the Quran, is Tafsir al-Quran bil-Hadith. We'll use the Hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it comes to Hadith, we all have to understand, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only feature that is the feature and the bounty that Allah has given only Islam, no other religion. Hadith means sayings, actions, and what do you call attributes, the qualities and confirmations of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anything connected to sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anything connected to Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anything even done in front of him, anything he said, or anything got to do with his personality, his appearance, everything, that we call it what? It's hadith. That is known as hadith. So we will look at the hadith, and when it comes to the field of hadith, it's another a detailed explanation. I'll briefly say, this is only available in Islam. Field of hadith have developed so fast, alhamdulillah. In Islam, the narrators, mashallah, we have from me up to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the chain of narrators are available, alhamdulillah. This is only preserved in Islam. Neither in Christianity. Look at Christianity, no. They will find very difficult to show 10 chains that connect to Isa alayhi salatu. Even Jews, they will never be able to say. Not a single religion, although they say it belongs, this script belongs to this religion, he said, they will not have any proof, evidence to say this is one. But alhamdulillah, in Islam, 500,000 narrators, 500,000 narrators who narrate the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their biography, their entire life has been preserved in Islam. 500,000, not one and two. 500,000. Imam Bukhari rahimullah was the, master in this field of hadith. He memorized in one gathering, like this, in a gathering, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have, given me a bounty, a ni'mah, that I can narrate 200,000 hadith while I am seated here. Allah. Sometimes we are amazed with, Dr. Zakir Naik being referring from this and giving reference from here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in every era, in every time, in every era, in every generation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a person, a scholar, who is defending Islam. This is Allah's system, because Allah will protect this religion. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, he is the one who masters in that field. So field of hadith is that develops. This is the one reason why we have some disagreements, and when we have to have different opinion. Because when it comes to hadith, when you look at the chain of narrators, according to different scholars, they will say, this chain, I can accept it. Some say, no, I will not accept it. Based on that, we have opinions being different. Some scholar will take that hadith. Some say, no, I will not take, because there is a narrator, I doubt him. Some say, no, I don't have problem with him, because he's okay. So it is not about one person's opinion. It's a group of scholars. It's a group of scholars who have worked on it. In every generation, these people exist. Alhamdulillah, this chain is still going on. It's going on same way how in the hadith there is a chain of narrators. You call it ijaza. That is a permission given by your sheikh to you to narrate a hadith. Same way you have ijaza in the Quran. Ijaza in Quran. Recitation of the Quran. That is also available at the moment. The 29th person, when you come from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the 29th person, only one person in the 29th generation is alive. All has died. Now we have in Sri Lanka the 31st. The 31 is, that is the present situation when it comes to the, not the hadith, it is the Quran. When it comes to the Quran change. Anyway, so these hadiths are also being preserved. So hadith have been used as an interpretation to explain the verse from the Quran. The third form, first the Quran, second the hadith, third is the sahabas, aqwal and a'mal, sayings and the actions of sahabas. First we look at the Quran, then we look at the hadith, and we don't find it's not enough. Most probably, mashallah, our doubts will be cleared when you go through this. If you don't find that, still you need explanation, then we go and see, how did the sahabas practice? When it comes to sahabas, who is a sahabi? Who can tell? Who is a sahabi? Who knows that? You know, we should know that. You know, we say, who is a sahabi? Because at this moment, we have a bit of problem, you know, since the Shi'i, you know, ideology. You know, they divide the sahabas into two groups. They say, good sahabas and bad sahabas. We as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, who believe, we say all the Sahabas are good. Because Allah have praised them in the Quran and Allah has said that I am pleased with them. So we don't divide them. So who is the Sahabi? Who is? Anyone else?
Person that accepted Islam during the time of the Prophet, he lived and died as a Muslim.
MashaAllah. In that, there is one addition, accepted as well as seen Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Same thing. What our uncle said is exactly correct. In the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person should have accepted Islam and seen Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and die in Islam. There were some people, in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they accept Islam but they could not come and meet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Due to, they had to do, that person, his name is, Allahumma salli alayhi wa sallam, Qarni. He has to do khidmah for his parents. He could not leave his old age parents, so he was there. He wanted to come and meet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but doing khidmah for parents was much higher form. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Uwaisul Qarni comes, to Umar radiallahu anhu to give salams, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he has not been regarded as a sahabi, although he embraced Islam in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lived and died in Islam, but he was unable to see Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alive, when he was alive. So he is a sahabi. So when it comes to sahabas, mashallah, in our books, all the names of sahabas are preserved from the top 10, and then it goes to top 40, then it comes on till 100,000 sahabas is mentioned, preserved. So some people's names are confused whether they are Sahabi or not, but majority when it comes, ulamas have agreed these are the Sahabas. Right. So the sayings and the actions of the Sahabas also will take as an explanation and interpretation for the Quran. Right. Fourth form is that the Tabi'eens. Who are the Tabi'eens? The one who have met the Sahabas. The one who have met the Sahabas while they were Muslims. That's something very important. They must be a Muslim and they met the Sahaba and die in Islam. They have been regarded as Tabi'een because they are very fortunate, very close to the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best time, the best era is my time, and then the next century and the two centuries Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named Khairul Quruni Qarni Summa Alladhina Yalunahum Summa Alladhina Yalunahum. First 300 years, that is the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after 200 years been, you know, named as, you know, the best time, because it is very closer to the practice of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right. So the Tabi'in's qawl, sayings and their actions are also taken as a last form of what? Interpretation of the Quran. There's another fifth form of the, not interpretation of the Quran, sometimes certain stories are in Quran, certain stories are not detailedly explained. For example, the story of people of Cain, the story of Khidr alayhi salam, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only mentioned which is needed. It's not need of mentioning the whole story. Where is the lesson, the part where there is a lesson, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned. When it comes to the story, Israeli riwayat, that is the Jewish traditions. We have another form called Jewish traditions, where Jews, in their scripture, that story might be narrated completely in it. For example, people of Cain, about Musa alayhi salam, about Yusuf alayhi salam. So detailedly explained about Dawood, you know. In that, there are certain information, everything we can't accept. Certain information that we accept it because it does not go against, it does not go against the principle, the aqeedah, or the form of Islam. So some things, some stories, if you read, even some brothers, why I'm mentioning this, some brothers, it's very interesting to listen to their stories. There are a lot of gossips, a lot of things in that, the tradition of Jews. So people read that and they come back and say, Shaykh, in Yusuf alayhi salam's story, it's happened like this. Can a prophet do this? Say about David, he have done this. Can a prophet do this? A weird story that people like to listen to it. Because it's things that got to do with that and this and Allahu Akbar, it's like, having a teledrama. When you look at teledrama, they know that this neighbor, what is happening, this. So people like that. This is our nature. People want to know business of others. So when it comes to that, you have to be very, very careful when you get information from Jewish tradition. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he went to Medina, he got hold of some scriptures from, Jewish tradition, some scriptures. And he was very much amazed because there are some good things, because that's also revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was so much amazed and he was telling the Sahabas and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was really angry. He said, aren't you happy with the deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have given me? And this deen is complete. And at that time, it was not allowed for anyone to go and look into that, their tradition. So some information, we will take that. We will not deny that, neither we will accept that. When it comes to interpretation in tafsir, sometimes they have bought certain traditions from Jews' tradition. We will neither accept, say it's true. No, we will not say that. Neither we will say it's, but it's a lie or fabricated information, because sometimes it can be true, sometimes it's a lie. But we will look into the frame of Islam and then we will make use of it. So this is how the tafsir of the Quran been done. Alhamdulillah, when it comes to tafsir, from the time beginning, there are a lot of scholars have done tafsir in a different form. I'll just give you explanation that some have taken the tafsir and given the linguistic part, the language. The people who are master the field of language, they take the Quran and they speak the language that Quran speaks, and gives the grammar rulings, and they go on explaining, say how beautifully Allah have laid down this. That's why Allah is challenging the Arabs who are mastered in the field of in the Arabic language and forming poems. Then Allah is challenging them. If you can bring one verse, one ayah, one chapter, they weren't able to do that. So they bring, who are interested in that, they explain about the words, the alfaz, the sentence. When it comes to the language, some people have extraordinary ability explaining and expressing their in when it comes to language ability. Right. Then some take and give the Quran the fiqhi, that is called the jurisprudence law. In Quran, there is certain rules and regulations. Then they speak detailedly about the fiqh part of it. What Quran says. Then some scholars have taken and they take the Quran and they relate and they go on the scientific, the science that Quran speaks. Quran speaks about heaven, and the Quran speaks about the earth, Quran speaks about the mountain, Quran speaks about the camel, Allahu Akbar. Quran speaks about all the things. Quran speaks about the animal planet. When you go to National Geography and look at that, Quran has spoken. They live in a community, Quran says. How we live? The animals live in community. Amsalukum, like you are living in community, or the animals, other creatures also lives in community. The birds lives as a community, So Quran says that. So some have taken that, they have go on explaining the part. So when you look at it, it's like a Quran, it's like the ocean. The ocean, it has to take the right man to dive deep down to bring the pearl out. But everybody is unable to dive right in and get that pearl out of it. My ustad, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him long life. When someone asks, Quran, it's amazing. Different people, when they read it, then they look at the tafsir, it gives a different understanding. It always guides you. He gave explanation, Quran is like the ocean. Everyone can benefit from it. Everyone can benefit. Even a little child, unable to swim, but go to the beach, just stretch the leg. If the child cannot, swim, the waves will come and knock the feet and go. Wash the feet and Allahu Akbar. So sometimes we are unable, we don't know Arabic language, we can't go deep in understand, but alhamdulillah, if we make some effort, just we have to walk to the beach, then we will get the water. We will get. And some feel, no, mashallah, it's good, they know to dive, they know to swim, they will go in. Swim well, some will surf, some will dive in, they go in, you know, dolphin watching, whale watching, coral diving, you know, go on. Can go on. Same way, similar, the Quran, it's the person, we need to, you know, gear ourselves, we need to get this language, we need those equipment, that is the language ability, and then another very important, and the understanding you get, that is relationship between a student and a teacher. This is what the spirituality that Allah has kept in Sharia. You can sit front of the computer, you can go on, yes, you can understand to a certain extent, but you will not get that understanding because there is a spiritual connection that is being transmitted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Jibreel alayhi salam right down. This is what you get in the relationship between the teacher and a student. So this connection, so we need to make some effort, strive, come out and sit and learn. Through that, alhamdulillah, we can get the understanding of the Quran. And we have 5 obligations towards the Quran, duties towards the Quran, that every individual, according to his ability and according to his effort, Allah will question him. One, that we have to read the Quran, alhamdulillah. None of us, you know, fail that, alhamdulillah. We make effort, we make sure before child goes to school, he is able to read the Quran. We make sure that we get even if he can't go to madrasa, we get him, we get an imam or sheikh coming home, and we, if he's unable, we take him at least once a week. We somehow we make sure that he will read the Quran. And then second, that we practice in the Quran. Even though we are unable to read, we have to practice. We need to ask someone and practice. Reading, practicing the Quran, and then preaching, preserving, and inviting people towards the Quran. These are the 5 duties that we have to do. We have to preserve the Quran, that memorizing it. We need to make that effort. This is part of the Holy Quran effort that everyone can do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking Holy Quran, who is prepared? I have made this Quran easy. Who is there to memorize this? So alhamdulillah, one of those, we have come to the second, that is practicing, understanding, preaching and preserving. Reading, practicing, understanding, preaching and preserving. In that we have come, we are making some effort to understand the Quran. Even my understanding of Quran is not complete. MashaAllah, by, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you all inshallah long life and give you all the barakah. Because your keenness, I have to do a lot of reading. Even if this time, I have to come and sit here while I was coming down from Hamamatsur, I was reading through. So while I'm reading, I'm contacting if I don't understand, I call my ustad, or I send him a, you know, BB me, I put him, so he replies me back, you go and refer this book. MashaAllah, my knowledge, you know, it's flowing, you know. I'm making some effort because I have to teach you all. I have to do something, alhamdulillah. Through that, we can preserve the Quran. So in last session, I told you all the tafsir of this class will go on like Suratul Fatiha and the surahs from Wadduha downwards, because every day we read those surahs at home, we read in Salah, we hear all those things. So then when we read those surahs, and we can, of course, inshallah, we will memorize those surahs as well. Most of us are by heart at that surah from Suratul Duha downwards and Suratul Fatiha. And then we know this is what we are reading, and that will help us and it will boost our iman and concentration in Salah and other activities. Then we will come into other surahs and we will not go word by word, because if I'm going to go word by word, I don't think when I'm going to finish it, because it will take long time. So I will take maybe a few pages together and give you the dust. In this page, from this verse to this verse, this is what Allah is saying. So this is what the nutshell, this is what we are supposed to understand. So I will give you in nutshell. Inshallah, I will try, and you know, if any shortcomings, please forgive me. It is from my side and from Shaitan. Nothing wrong with the Quran. And you all, always there is room to refer and question me and ask me. MashaAllah, it's a learning process. Alhamdulillah. So today, we're supposed to start the tafsir of Suratul Fatiha. One thing that some, this is another claim, some say that about the Suratul Fatiha, and last session I told you all to go through the translation and come. It's better if you all go through a translation. You are coming here with some understanding, so I can give you the explanation of it. So translation is available, mashallah, in many languages. Mashallah, in so many languages. Recently, there was a paper article saying 250 million copies of the Quran was distributed since the, you know, the foundation that King Fahd established a factory, you know, foundation of printing Quran and distributing in many languages. 250 million up to now, inshallah, right around the world, they have distributed Quran in many languages. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in all the forms. Now Quran is available digitally, you want to listen, sound is available, everything. Alhamdulillah. So if you can go through the translation and come here. Surah Al-Fatiha, the names of every surah also given by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fatiha and the ordering of the Quran. I explained to you all in last session. So Surah Al-Fatiha is the first surah. It was not revealed first, but according to the order, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed that first. And it's known as the opening. The opening. Surah Al-Fatiha. Al-Fatiha means the opening. And this surah was revealed, some say many times, some say it was revealed twice. Same surah. Sometimes the same verses, even in the Quran, you see same verses is being repeated. For example, Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah repeat asking, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which signs of Allah you can deny and say that this is not true? Which signs of Allah? So Allah repeats and asks. So certain words have been repeated. Same way this surah was revealed in Makkah as well as in Medina. But in Quran it's only one. It's not placed like twice. It's only there once. Because the same exact words was revealed. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La salata illa bi fatihatil kitab. Without surah Fatiha, there is no salah. That means, in every salah, in every rakah, we have to read surah Fatiha. But scholars differ in this matter, whether in jama'ah, imam also have to read, ma'mum has to read. In that, scholars differ. Majority says, yes, every individual must read surah Fatiha. But some scholar, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimullah, he says that when in the congregation, when you pray in congregation, the surah Fatiha of imam will suffice for ma'mum. And he has certain interpretation for that, because Quran says you have to read whatever is easy for you in salah. Based on that, they have interpretation. Anyway, and Surah Al-Fatiha is the opening. And again, Surah Al-Fatiha is been given as a remedy for our sins. The time of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you find many hadith saying the word truth of Surah Al-Fatiha. For any illness, Quran is Shifa. So you read Surah Al-Fatiha 7 times, any times you want. So scholars will say you read 7, 11, you know, odd number. But it is a shifa, because it's a nutshell, the entire essence of Quran is preserved in Surah Fatiha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Fatiha begins with Bismillah. This is another disagreement, whether Bismillah is a part of the Surah or not. Yes, some scholars say yes, Bismillah is part of every Surah except for Surah At-Tawbah. Surah At-Tawbah, the Bismillah is not part of it. Some say no, Bismillah is not part of Surah. But you have to read surah. So it doesn't matter, because Allah says before you read, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, by the name of your Lord. And a'udhu. Now when we read a'udhu, when you begin, we read a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. From where does it come? Is it part of the Quran? Yes. There are certain verses in between that a'udhu is mentioned. But a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim in beginning, that is not part of the Quran. But Allah is commanding us. Allah is telling us that when you read the Quran, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. You seek refuge from shaitan who is cursed. Why? Because shaitan can come in and give you different ideas, different thoughts, because he is there in Surah An-Nas, inshallah, when we come to tafsir, says, أَلَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. The one who comes and gives whispers in the hearts of people. Shaitan will come and whisper in your heart. And you find two groups, even from jinn, that is shaitan's script, and even people. You have some people, they will not tell you, they'll tell something and walk out, no explanation. Now you whole night you're awake, you're thinking, what is this? What did he say? Why did he say that? This is a whispering. You see, come and put something into your heart, something into your mind, and he goes away. And you find some shaitans, you know, in the form of human being, you find them as well as real shaitans. They can do this. So when you read in the Quran, first you need to seek refuge. Ask Allah, Allah protect me from shaitan. And this is not, when it comes to a'udhu, in the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in many occasions, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have taught us sunnah dua where you need to seek refuge from shaitan. When you enter the toilet, when you as husband and wife, mashallah, we are happy, when we are getting together, we need to seek refuge from shaitan. And before we, you know, enter the house, we seek refuge from shaitan, because shaitan is trying to be part of us. When we enter the home, he's trying to be part. When we say salam, shaitan stay out. When you're trying to eat, shaitan is going to be part of us. This is just Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And when you yawn, you know, science might say, this is a sahih hadith, this is what explains. Science say, when you yawn, you keep the hand, close it, don't open. Why? Germs might go in, right? This is what we feel. But our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, you keep your hand and say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Why? Shaitan enters. Allahu Akbar. Some even can interpret and say, Rasulullah refer shaitan, that you know, for the germs, Rasulullah refer as shaitan. Maybe explanation, but whatever is said and done, that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shaitan enters. So we need to believe that, we accept that shaitan enters. So when shaitan comes in, what does he do? He puts doubt. He will never allow us to go in straight path. He will always be an obstacle. He always be an obstacle, because this is the one covenant, one thing that he asked, and he challenged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will mislead them. Then Allah says, you can do everything, but sincere servants of mine, you can't touch them. If my servants are sincere in obeying me, you can't touch them. You will never be able to do that. So that's the time. Shaitan, from the time of the birth till the time of death, his effort goes on. When you die with Islam, then he's failed. He's gone. He has passed. So alhamdulillah, the seeking refuge from shaitan, you go through the dua. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us in many forms that we need to seek refuge from shaitan. And one form is that is about when you read the Quran. When you read the Quran, when you're starting in Salah, in all these things, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim, we have to read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim. Right. So we got the A'udhu, not only in Quran, Allah commands us to read in Quran, before we read Quran to read A'udhu, and in all the other forms, there are Sunnah du'as where Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us of seeking refuge from Shaitan, we should do that. It is a protection for us. Right. Then the second verse is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I said Allah first commands Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to read by the name of who? By the name of Allah. Bismillah. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. By the name of your Lord who created. Who have created us. So Bismillah, by the name of Allah. By the name of Allah, Bismillah, I begin by the name of Allah. Bismillah comes in all the good. Any good actions we do, we have to begin with Bismillah, and we have to use our right hand. For example, Islam explains so detailedly. Now we're going to wear our shoes, our slippers. You know, the sunnah way of wearing it? When we wear, first the right leg and then the left. When we remove it, it's other way around. First the left and then the right. And everything Islam teaches us a method. And don't walk with one slipper. Some says if you're wearing, you have to wear both. If you're not wearing, keep both and walk barefoot. So Bismillah is in every life. When you enter house, Bismillahi walajina wa Bismillahi kharajina. When we eat, Bismillahi wa ala barakatillah. Bismillah. When we eat. In every form, we have to begin with Bismillah. Because by the name of Allah, everything we are here, Allah has given us, so we have to begin everything with the Bismillah. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anything that has been begin with Bismillah, barakah is it. We don't see it, but definitely there is a barakah. We don't feel that. So we need to teach our children. This should be part of our life. You know, Bismillah, A'udhu Billah must be part of our life. Every time we have to say, even in the dream, now A'udhu Billah is a letter. Sometimes children get up and they scream. When children scream, we need to say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Why? Because Shaitan is the one that the child, you know, frighten the children. When children are calm and quiet and they smile, you know what it says? It says the angels are coming and playing with the children. So the angels are around. You want to see angels around? You see the child, children. You try this, inshallah. Go home and try. Two ways you can try. One, if you have a rooster at home, rooster, you go near the rooster and say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. Say salawat. Keep on saying, to start crowing. Why? It's because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, with rooster crows, that is a sign that angels are surrounded. Allahu Akbar. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why in the morning, for time of Fajr, angels are changing the shift. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, do not scold the rooster. La tasubbuddi. Do not scold the rooster. Sometimes it's 8. Early morning, it's screaming. No. Angels are around. And you try that when you have an infant who doesn't understand anything. Go near and keep on reading Quran or say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. Child is maybe a month or two. You see the child after a while starts smiling and looking at up for a while. That means the angels are Allahu Akbar. Any gathering where Allah's name has been mentioned and salawat upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been excessively said, in that gathering angels surround. So when you say Bismillah, it's in one, it's a weak narration. Allah appoints an angel. Allah appoints the angel from the beginning of that action till end to help you to complete that. Allah. When we begin with Bismillah. When we begin with Bismillah, Allah appoints an angel to what? To help us to complete that. That's why while you're eating, if you forget to say Bismillah, you say Bismillahi awwalahu akhiru. Then remedy also given. Why? Soon as you say Bismillah while you're eating, Shaitan runs away. If not, Shaitan is with us. Right. So we went through A'udhu and the virtue of A'udhu and virtue of Bismi and the meaning. And Allah has so many names and qualities. Why Allah use Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim? Most gracious and most merciful. These two qualities have been continuously reminded about Allah's qualities. Ar-Rahman. Rahman is most merciful. And in the surah again, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Even in surah Fatiha, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Again it has been mentioned, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Why? Allah has so much of qualities. Allah can punish the Jabbar, Qahar, all those. If you Asma'ul Husna, you go through every meaning, Allah has all those ability and he can do all those things. But when Allah prefer mentioning his quality as Rahman. When it comes to Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah says Ar-Rahman Allama Al-Quran. You know, scholars explain, when it comes to relationship between the parents and children and relationship between the teacher and student, has to be, the link should be the mercy, the love. That's why Allah, when it comes to teaching Quran, Allah uses the word Ar-Rahman. And Allah is reminding first us that I am very, you know, kind, I am very merciful. I love you. 70 times more than our parents. 70 times more than, you know, mom, you know, when parents, when the more we hurt them, more we give trouble, they love us more. You see, the troublemaker in the family, he is the most notorious, but parents love him more. Why? That is the nature. The more he gives trouble, the mom will love. Sometimes the other brothers and sisters might get annoyed. You see, he doesn't come right, but mom is spoiling him. We say that this is the nature of the love that Allah has kept for the mother. The naughty fellow, the notorious guy, the mom, sometimes even without knowing the father, father might say, don't give him a cent. But without knowing the father and others, she will give something, okay? Be careful, be good. Why? This is the love. The more you be same way, Allah's love and mercy in this world until we die, something very important. The more we run away from Allah, Allah loves us. The more we run away, that is Allah's reminding. The more we run away from Allah, Allah will create so many opportunities that you should come back to Him. You should return to Him. Because Allah loves, Allah wants Him to come back. And there's a beautiful hadith explained about the murderer who killed, you know, 100 people, 100 persons. Yeah, kill them. How Allah showed His mercy. And hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah become happier when a person loses something in the middle of desert. His vehicle, all those things have been lost. Nothing is available. He have no help, no one to scream. He get tired and then he sleeps. and he wakes up and he found his camel, his everything, how happy he will be. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah is much more happier than that person when his slaves come back and make tawbah. Allah. Allah is reminding us about his rahmah. So no one can say, this person don't have hidayah. No one can say. Allah will accurately, definitely. So we cannot judge people in Surah Fatiha Allah. So Allah is king. In Rahman means, without any differentiation in this world, Allah's mercy is for everyone. For everyone. You do good, you do bad, you believe in Him, you worship Him, everyone, Allah gives this mercy. But Allah's mercy is for different people in different forms. Sometimes we think, Allah's mercy means I must have a Mercedes Benz. Because mercy. You know, we need some vehicle. You know, this is what Allah has been, you know, Allah loves him so much because Allah has given him a Mercedes. He drives. No, it does not mean that. It does not mean with the material belongings what we have. Allah, for different people, Allah loves them in different form. We don't know why Allah has kept. Certain people, Allah kept them. One Sahabi, I tell you, people, you know, Sahabas and scholars, less speak about him. What happened? He was very poor. He was very, very poor. Extremely poor. But he came and continuously asked Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please make dua, I want to become rich. So, because he was keep on insisting, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. He became rich. Allahu Akbar. But that wealth, the richness kept him away from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's gathering. It kept him away. So what happened? Now scholars does not speak about it. He died a Muslim, but Quran ayah was revealed against him. Even not a single Sahabi, after that he realized his mistake and he wants to pay zakah, he wants to give the money for Islam. Because Rasulullah refused, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu, and then down the line everyone refused it. The time of Usman radiallahu, and I think he passed away. So what happened? Kept him away from real bounty. So we don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept us, but Allah loves us. Allah has given us, Allah has distributed. Through His knowledge, He knows to whom to give what. So mercy and His love does not mean the material belongs that we have. Ar-Rahim is a love that Allah will show in Day of Qiyamah, that Allah will show only for those who He will. Here it's given to everyone. Given to everyone. In Day of Qiyamah, Allah sometimes, a sinner might walk up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will call him behind the screen and say, keep on reading all his bad deeds, you have did all these things. But you know what? I love you because of your this action. I forgive you everything, I send you to Jannah. Allah. So that Allah will pick and choose. That is in Allah's hand. So Rahim, we must always, you know, ask for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The month of Ramadan is around the corner, is a month of mercy. The whole month is a month of mercy, the whole month is a month of forgiveness, the whole month is a month of, you know, freeing ourselves from hellfire. So we must keep on asking mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is explaining, He is Rahman and Rahim, and there are certain du'as Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. When we enter the masjid, what is the du'a we read? Bismillah, Allahumma ftahli abwaab rahmati. Oh Allah, by the name of Allah, oh Allah, open the doors of your mercy. You don't know what is mercy of Allah. So it's not door of mercy, doors of mercy, abwaab, it's in plural. So doors of mercy, we don't know. There are so many different kinds of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. So it starts with a'uzu, seeking refuge from shaitan, our clear enemy. Then connecting ourselves and thinking the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So then, I think our time is coming closer. That is Surah Al-Fatiha. It begins with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I'll give you the explanation of Alhamd, and then we will continue next week inshallah. We'll complete, because Surah Fatiha, I want to give you a detailed explanation, because we need to get that. If we read 17 times a day in Salah, at least if you are not performing Sunnah, minimum we are reading 17 times Surah Al-Fatiha. So 17 times, what are we saying? What is Allah is telling us? And Alhamd means all praise. Now you can praise a person, oh, he's a good driver, you praise him. You can praise a chef because he's a good, you know, he can cook well. So in this world, you praise different people for their different abilities. Am I right? Because he's good in management, he's good in his speech, he's good in that. So different people have different ability, different talent. So you praise him. Allahu Akbar. Alhamd means all those praise. You can praise everyone. You can praise whole world. You can tell they are, you know, they so and so, go on. All that praise belongs to Allah. All those praise, you go on praising. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every dua, first you have to begin with praising it. And Sahaba used to have competition in praising Allah. You know, you start doing it in tahajjud or in any prayer. It doesn't need to be in your Arabic language. It can be in your own language. You praise Allah, you go on praising. The words will flow. You will keep on praise Allah. You will not ask any single dua. You will only, your entire dua will be praising Him. That is the greatest dua, because however you praise Allah, Allah will give that praise back to you. If you praise Him, Allah will make us praiseworthy. That's why the name of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two names, Muhammad and Ahmad. Ahmad means the one who excessively praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammad means the one who is praiseworthy. Allahu Akbar. So Allah made his name, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Almighty made Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, made in such way that whole world, everyone praises him. Everyone, when they hear the name of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, we have to say. Definitely we have to say. So Allah made it because he prays. Sahabas used to have competition. One person, you know, they need to have competition in praising Allah. Praising Allah. You need to have this in school. We need to create that. Sometimes we give, you know, essay. Give them essay to praise Allah. Write about Allah. Allahu Akbar. Give them. The child will write. 500 pages go on. You know, Allah challenges in the Quran. If you want to write, you know, praise me and write about me in the Quran, you can make the entire ocean the ink and turn the entire, all the trees available in this world into pencil and pens, and you keep writing, everything will perish, everything will be finished, but Allah's praise will remain. Still there is room for you to praise Allah. So Alhamd means all praise. As I said, everything, whatever you see, all praise belongs to Allah, who is Alhamdulillah, Allah, who is the Rabb of the universe. Alameen, Rabb of Alameen. Alameen, anything, whatever besides Allah, everything is Al. It belongs to the universe. Everything besides Allah. Angels are included in that, the heaven and the earth, the planet, the galaxy, you go on. You know, sometimes many of us don't know there are so many other planets, there are so many other galaxies, there are some, they say, even creatures. Everything, anything besides Allah belongs to the Alam, the universe. So he is the Rabb of the universe. Rabb means the one who controls, the one who sustains, one who runs, one who controls, one the owner. So everything, the word Rabb, you cannot give one meaning of it. You know, there is a sheikh, his name is, I think, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. I can't remember his name. He is very beautiful. He will praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning of his speech in English. He will say, sustainer, nourisher, perisher, go on. He will go on for 10 minutes. He will go on for 10 minutes. The words will never end. Allahu Akbar. We can keep on listening to him. That he says, this is what Rabb. Rabb means sustainer, provider, protector, sustainer, controller. He will go on. So, Rabb of this universe is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are praising him, and my ustad says, what is the benefit? Do we need to praise Allah? Does Allah get any benefit by we are praising him? Even we praise or we don't praise. If everyone obeys or no one obeys, there's nothing is going to increase or nothing going to decrease in the what? In when it comes to honor and dignity and praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what happens? Why Allah is telling us to praise? And why Allah is teaching us to pray? That if we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make us praiseworthy. If we glorify Him, if you, you know, say subhanallah, glorify Him, Allah will make us great. So the more we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make us people who are worthy of those praise. So may Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding and give us the ability to practice according to what we have learned. I think it is, we are taking a bit time, so, but in Surah Fatiha I want to go on, because my iman also, you know, when I'm speaking, it's getting charged, and I think it's same with you all. So in Surah Fatiha we will spend some time and then get into the other surahs, inshallah. To Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our gathering and give all of us the reward and practice to preserve that and practice that. So akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.